Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern, 60 Euro, bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar, mit dem Code TARA60.
Cataracts are the world's leading cause of avoidable blindness. The Metaverse can help address that problem. A virtual reality platform, created by Fundamental VR and Orbis International, helps train doctors to treat cataracts, resulting in more confident surgeons operating all over the world. With virtual reality training, surgeons can practice over and over to gain skills. Meta and the Metaverse are having impact today.
We've had so much taken away from us through slavery. So much, you know, our names, our language, our culture. And it's just like, yes, Beckford is not our real name, but it does give us some sense of identity.
Even as we speak here, somebody is getting murdered because of their caste status, because they walked into a holy place which they are not supposed to walk into.
I'm Robert Beckford, an academic, theologian and Christian. And this is the documentary from the BBC World Service. In this episode of Heart and Soul, which explores personal approaches to spirituality from around the world, I'm on a journey to determine whether or not I should change my surname.
This station is Moorgate.
I'm in London and it's another overcast day, but I'm not too concerned about the weather because I'm here to visit the Guildhall, where the statue of Alderman Beckford is situated. I'm interested in Alderman Beckford because he was a slave owner in 18th century Jamaica, and he enslaved my ancestors and gave them the name Beckford as a brand. I wasn't able to see the statue this time because the building was closed and we couldn't get in, but I've seen it on previous occasions, and to be quite honest, I was happy not to see it again because every time I look at that statue, I get traumatised. I think about the fact that this man enslaved Africans, was a terrible slave owner. In 1760, he had 400 of them who decided to rebel, killed, and the leader of the rebellion burned alive. So why should I now continue to have this slave name, Beckford? Is it something that can be redeemed? After all, my family have had this name for generations and have been quite comfortable having the name in Jamaica and even in Britain as well. But there's another side to this. I want to know if, as a Christian, having a name that signifies oppression, brutality and destruction is actually spiritually healthy. The big question for me then is, should I change my name? Is it now time to ditch the Beckford name and find another name that reflects my identity and spirituality today? But a sub-question is, how do I go about it? Is it simply a case of finding a new name that works for me based on my own life history, or do I take a specific Christian name? I just don't know what I'll do, but I'm hoping that the people I speak to will help inform me and guide me. I'm on my way to a church in Lancaster to meet Anderson Jeremiah, the soon-to-be Bishop of Edmonton. Anderson was born in South India, but he doesn't have a traditional Indian-sounding name. I wanted to talk to him about identity, spirituality, and know more about the origins of his name.
It was the name of one John Anderson. He was the first educational missionary who came and worked and set up several schools in South India, who had very noble ambitions. But also, as with any missionaries, he was a big collaborator of the colonial establishment at that point in time. So he has a very strong baggage that goes with it. So Anderson is my Christian name, and Jeremiah is my dad's name.
Anderson tells me that in India, names signify social and caste status. Before his grandparents converted to Christianity, his original family name was a Dalit name. Dalits are the social group at the bottom of the Indian caste system. Historically, many Dalits escaped the discrimination associated with their names by converting to Christianity and taking a Christian name. Changing their names was political, but also liberated people from the caste system and gave them new opportunities.
Now, retrospectively looking back at my own childhood, people struggled to put me in a place because my name was Anderson Jeremiah, because I didn't give any clues which caste I belonged to.
What does it mean for your ethnic identity then if you take on this new Christian name and Christian Indian identity? Do you have to suppress it or does it maintain its presence?
This goes to the heart of the theological struggle in India. My grandfather's generation, who were the first converts, so they embraced a whole new identity. In the process, they didn't want us to know their hardships, their direct experience of untouchability, of day-to-day lived discrimination. Mm. And so part of my own growing up is to dig deep into my own identity. Very often, this name didn't allow me to do. Mm. So I had to actually embrace my Dalit identity.
I like the names of the 8th century prophets and before. And my son is named Micah Beckford, after one of the prophets. So I do like the idea of people in the biblical tradition who speak truth to power, who ruffle people's feathers, who challenge the injustice. I haven't thought of giving myself a biblical name. I could never find a name that really resonated with me.
I like my biblical name, Jeremiah. It sounds good. He's a troublemaker, so I like that idea. But Anderson is my first name. So do I want that name? To be an authentically Christian and to be authentically Indian and to be authentically Dalit in my experience, I had to really think, does this name capture what I am seeking to be?
This questioning led Anderson to examine what Dalit communities were able to achieve by having a different identity linked to their name change.
As I'm sitting here in Lancaster in England, I'm probably one of millions of young people who are able to break out of the educational system, which still discriminates people from my background back in India. So I would not have been able to break out of that system if my name was an Indian name.
Right. When I call my first name, I'm fond of it. My parents call me Robert. But when I hear the name Beckford, there's a jolt. How do you feel about this name change as a human being? How does it work for you on a spiritual level?
I think that's been a personal journey for me to come to terms with that naming and which aspect of my name that I prioritize. Is it the history of it or the name that I've become in the last 20, 30 years of that self-discovery? I use my name now as a teaching tool to engage with people. Actually, my name is a mechanism to understand my history.
I like that didactic approach where the name becomes a teachable moment and almost an opportunity to talk about colonial history.
Very often, you know, that struggle to constantly remind yourself of your roots and not to forget that this is a real lived struggle for millions of people even today.
These days, having a Christian name can identify Anderson as being from the Dalit community. And he says he faces discrimination even today.
There are places where I will not be welcome here, even though I'm in a different country. But I, as an Indian Christian, I won't be welcome in certain places because my name signifies that I am a Dalit. I cannot escape that reality. That's fundamentally spiritual struggle for me. So just to turn that into a positive energy, I think this is what many theologians, particularly Dalit theologians, have done in the last 4 or 5 decades is to actually capture that struggle. So theology is not about providing answers. It's about capturing the struggle of people with their identity. And if theology or spirituality could facilitate wrestling with those struggles, and then we need to stay in that broken, fragmented status. Because in a way, that is the human condition.
I asked Anderson, if he was offered the chance to change his name, would he do it?
If that changing your name is going to facilitate not only your own personal growth, but if it's going to be of a source of inspiration for others, I would certainly do it. But at the moment, I'm very happy with that tension because it doesn't allow me to rest because it constantly challenges me.
I really like the idea of the struggle and the fact that these names don't have to be resolved and the tension can be a way of creatively navigating the world, that there's actually power in holding this tension together. Beckford and Robert doesn't have to be a negative thing. It can actually be a dynamic interplay of spiritualities, histories, cultures, and politics. So thank you for that. You've helped me a great deal.
It's wonderful to have this conversation because this is something that I struggled with. In India, we call it hyphenated Christians. Mm. So the hyphen becomes very important because it connects two different worlds. Mm. And I think as much as we would like to have a resolved status, that the hyphens is what defines us.
I feel quite shaken up, actually. I realised there were things that I'd suppressed in my mind and in my spirit about my name and what it meant to me. And as I was talking to Anderson Jeremiah, I had flashbacks, you know, of being a child in school, hearing them calling out my name. And I felt it brought back a degree of confusion and anxiety and uncertainty. And that shaking up occurred. But I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. I think I needed that as a starting point to go on this journey. So I'm grateful for it. And I recognise that it's a struggle, but it can be a beautiful struggle.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern, 60 Euro, bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar mit dem Code TARA60.
I'm Robert Beckford, and for this episode of Heart and Soul, I'm deciding if I should ditch my surname Beckford. I've gone to meet someone who also grew up with the name Beckford, my sister. When she got married, she decided to keep Beckford and hyphenate it with her husband's name, Bolagon. I wanted to know what she thinks about me possibly changing my name and why she chose to keep hers.
Well, I never would have changed my name, whatever it was, when I got married anyway, because your name's sort of like your identity. So that's why I did it. But it wasn't because I was in love with the history of it. I think Daddy romanticised it very much. Mm. And I remember once when he did a documentary with you, he was so proud of his name. And I saw that a name could have more than one identity. Yes, it's the slave owner's name. But yes, it also meant something to him. But without that, where do you go?
You're right. Daddy did romanticise it.
Right.
The name had a certain kind of power, a kind of physical power, because it was linked to these hard-working people in Hanover in Jamaica. But for me, it doesn't have that meaning.
I remember when you went to college in America, there was loads of Beckfords, weren't there? Mm, loads of Beckfords. And one day you had a lunch with all the Beckfords. And it's just things like that, I think, that have made me like keep the name. It's nothing to do with the slavery part, but it's like you could go there and you could identify other people that came from the same slave master as your family. They may not have been blood relatives, but all their families had the same struggle as you.
I want to explore if I could give myself another name in a way, the way that you have, you've got this brilliant double-barreled name. I'm just thinking if I can tweak it or change it or do something that registers that we've thought about its origins.
But then it changes your family history, doesn't it? And I suppose in a way we shouldn't think like that. That's only because you're a male, because females have been doing it for centuries, haven't they? They've taken on their married names and you can still trace their history. But I just feel that we've lost so much that in order to take something new, I'd have to really, I don't know, I wouldn't like you to just go through a dictionary, for example, and then just come up with a name. Mm. I'd want to think that you'd actually thought about, where does this name come from? Is it actually linked to your line of ancestry? Yes, Beckford is not our real name, but it does give us some sense of identity.
I'd try and give myself a name that either represented who I was now in terms of the work that I'd done as a Black liberation theologian, as a broadcaster, as an activist scholar. Is there a name that encompasses my being and my experience now? Or do I take on a name from the Bible that is a prophetic name, somebody who represents the kind of aspirations that I would have for myself spiritually? Or, you know, do I look for an African name like you and say, actually, you know, with DNA testing, I know that my people can be located in a part of West or Central Africa, as you have done.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to changing my name. I'm not that attached to it. I'm probably less attached to it now since I've actually got married as well. But it's just, make sure you're not doing it for fashion, that's all.
Yeah, look, there's nothing fashionable about it because the administrative side of it would be a nightmare. I like the fact that you've kept your name because you've got a nice tension there between the Beckford and the Bolligan, you know, and in a way that dynamic gives you something to, not just something to talk about at dinner parties as you do in this part of North London, but it also gives you an opportunity to explore your identity as somebody who's has origins in Africa, but then is part of the Caribbean diaspora as well. So in a way, you've got the best of both worlds, I think.
My husband, he's got his dad's name. His dad's from Nigeria. I love the identity of my husband's name. I love it amongst other Black people. I just love it. It's such a massive sense of belonging in a world or a country where we're very often made to feel not like we belong.
We have taken on the name of people who oppressed us, and that doesn't lead to the end of the oppression. What happens if we take on a name that reflects our quest for liberation? Maybe it'll change our mental outlook in some way.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe that will actually be a fresh new beginning for generations to come.
Yeah. And that's why I think maybe not for my children. When I've spoken to my children about this, they're not really that interested. They just think it's something dad's.
But they're very young. They're still very young, aren't they?
Yeah.
See how they feel once they go through university and they start working and they see how they're identified in the workplace.
Yeah.
They might think differently.
That's true.
I had a job one day. I just happened to be sitting by the managing director and we were working and we were all talking. And then she said to me, you know, your name's really misleading. And I said, how is it misleading? She goes, well, when you were coming for interview, I thought you were white. And I was just really taken aback. And I just thought, is that the impression you've got? Is that I'm trying to mislead people with my name? My name was given to me by my parents. I haven't tried to anglicise it. And that's probably why I did then when I got married, have a double-barreled name.
It could be then that it's for them in the future or future generations.
Just looking at that picture of Mummy's family, it just makes me think, do you remember Daddy used to tell us the story of when there was the uprising of the slaves? But it just made me think, that revolutionary, now looking at us, what would he actually say to us? He'd probably say, why on earth have you still got that name?
Look at
what we fought for. Mm. I gave my life for your freedom. Mm. Now you've had the conversation, it does actually really make me think, what would our ancestors say? I'm not sure they'd be very proud of us.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm thinking now, having talked to you, is that maybe the task isn't necessarily to abolish the name. Maybe the task is to maybe try and disrupt it in some way to symbolise the fact that I have this name, but I'm contesting it.
I like that and I prefer that because As much as we know that this is a slave name, there's a lot of people out there that don't know that my surname's a slave name. Remember I talked to you about, we had that man come in to talk at work for Black History Month, and he talked about, you know, my name being a slave name. And the amount of people that came up to me at work afterwards and said, I had no idea. I had no idea that was a slave name. So it did make me wonder, well, you see that I'm Black, you know that I'm not English descent, but... and I've got this obviously English name, doesn't it? Where do you think it comes from? So the idea of disrupting it in some way, I think, is also needed as part of the story.
This is not what I expected, to be quite honest. I thought people were going to say to me, get rid of it or keep it. And instead, I've had two interviews where people have said, no, you have to sit somewhere in the middle. And that idea has real connection with being somebody with a hyphenated existence, African Caribbean. Whereas the first interview made me feel unsettled because it was churning it all up again, and so I felt quite disturbed afterwards, a little bit traumatised about having to address this issue so openly and so publicly. However, having gone to see my sister, I feel a lot better about it now because I recognise that there's a really powerful part of the name that I do like. I feel I've got some pointers in terms of what I need to do next.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Have we lost Robert?
No. I'm talking to someone else who's been on a journey with her own name. Scholar and reparations activist Esther Kosseyi. I interrupted her on her honeymoon to get her perspective and see if she could help me with my decision.
My mom named me Esther because she was a very religious woman when she was pregnant with me, and she got a vision that she should call me the name Esther. I didn't read the Book of Esther until I was in my late 20s. And then I discovered that there was like a correlation between the Book of Esther and the life of Queen Esther and my own life, in that Queen Esther became a liberator of her people, the Hebrew people. And so that is very much a narrative that many people of African ancestry and heritage connect with, because we do have African Hebrews.
And in 2008, Esther took on the name Kosseyi.
So the name Kosseyi is an Ewe name, a West African name. And I was actually given this name after meeting a spiritual elder here in Ghana, where I currently am. And after sitting with me and hearing about my mission, this was a name that he felt was fitting for me. And the name is actually, it means cosmic law and balance.
How do you feel having taken on this name? How does it make you rethink your identity?
We as a people, that is people of African heritage and ancestry, have been dispossessed of so much, not just the resources, but literally our heritage, our culture, our true spirituality. So when I now carry this name proudly, it reaffirms for me my mission.
She was born with the surname Stanford. Although she'd been unhappy with the name for a long time, she had kept it for many years.
The main reason being that I have this yearning to reconnect and know who I am fully and find my people. And I know that one of the ways in which I can find other family members is through that name. Evidence of the crimes committed against my ancestors, and that I continue to live the consequences of. Last year, I decided to get rid of the Stanford totally because I had outgrown this name. It became oppressive and offensive to me, and I felt that it was blocking my destiny. I took on the name Kosseyi as my main surname, and I am not looking back. I feel totally at peace.
Do you think that this is something that all people of African diaspora heritage, those of us who have histories of enslavement and branding with these slave ownership names, do you feel that this is an important part of personal repair, to find a name that is consistent with African heritage and spirituality?
Absolutely. It is. It is an important part of the journey of returning to self, to reclaiming self. And I don't just mean self in the individual sense. I mean community of self. So us reconnecting to ancestry, reconnecting to lineage, and actually engaging in this act of self-repair, which no one else can do for us. I would advocate it for all people of African ancestry. However, I'm not so naive to think that that would occur. So I actually think it's a step that only those that are ready to actually fully engage in this act of self-repair should take. Because a name is not just a label. It carries great significance spiritually, culturally, and politically. People have to be ready to make that step in a self-determined way.
Some people have altered their surnames to reflect the fact that it's a contested name. So, for example, there's a Jamaican academic who spells his name backwards in order to reference the fact that this isn't his real African heritage name. There's another academic I know in Britain who puts a strikeout through his name to show as well that it's contested. How do you feel about that kind of distortion? Is that sufficient?
In my view, it's not sufficient because it still connects us and ties us to enslavers. As much as we may contest that heritage and the imposition of those names and the way in which they continue to speak to African subjugation and dehumanization, if we are courageous enough to actually walk back or reclaim our connection to our ancestors, we will no longer have a need to be connected to those who enslaved us, who colonized us, who terrorized our people, and continue to actually benefit from stolen wealth and ill-gotten gains. So I feel, give them back their names. They don't belong to us. That is really the height, to me, of personal freedom and reassertion of our sovereignty.
I am really inspired by what you've said. I really like the idea of the name change. I feel it has to change.
We got cut off mid-call, but Esther sent me a message to end our conversation.
I think that you need to continue doing that soul searching and you can choose your own name. In time, I think the more and more that you call it, the more and more you think about it, the more and more you meditate on it, a name will come.
This has been quite a journey, and now I need to make a decision. I've decided to keep the Beckford name, but write my surname with a strike through, because I wanted to retain the memory of the Beckford family, but I also wanted to contest this history to demonstrate that the name is an imposition. So a strike through retains the name, but demonstrates that it's contested. This feels much more righteous to me because I feel much more liberated. And the Christian faith is about liberating you from all forms of oppression. This has been quite a traumatic journey. So to actually make a decision and to see this surname in a completely new way is a relief. The next steps are quite practical. I want to change my name on emails, on the books that I write, on the presentations that I do and the places that I appear. So my surname will be Beckford with the strike through from here on. I feel really excited, not just for me, but for my children and my children's children. It's really important that I leave a memory and a sign of contesting this name and breaking the links with the past. You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. This episode of Heart and Soul was presented by me, Robert Beckford, and the producer was Rachel Briggs.
Enterprise value equals market capitalization plus total
asset
debt.
Asset pricing model equals risk-free rate plus
cost
beta
of
times
equals
bond.
Percentage of equity times cost of equity plus percentage of debt times cost of debt.
Not intimidated? Good. The sharpest minds succeed with London Business School's finance courses, ranked in the top 5 by the Financial Times. Find out which of our world-class finance courses are right for you by searching LBS Finance today.
Ich bin Lea.
Ich bin Lina und wir machen den Podcast Juice.
It's juicy, it's spicy, you tell me right now. Das hier ist Juice und da erzählen wir uns gegenseitig jede Woche eine juicy Geschichte aus der Community. Egal, ob die jetzt schockierend, peinlich oder einfach nur funny ist.
Zum Beispiel die Geschichte über Raphael, der eine Hodenkrankheit vortäuscht, nur um sein Date im Krankenhaus zu besuchen.
Die Ärztin so, naja, können wir den Hoden auch antackern.
Hört Juice überall, wo es Podcasts gibt. Wir freuen uns.
It's spicy, you tell me, yeah.